everybody get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Good morning and welcome to Playing With Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shodell, and I'm here with co-host, producer, new Facebook expert, and all-around weatherman, Stu Schrager.
There's so many exciting things going on. First of all, if you hear some background noise, we're actually recording the show this past Thursday at Smoking Al's in Massapequa Park.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Yeah.
And we got a whole bunch of listeners here that are here to support us and listen to the show. And we also have a great guest who's hosting us tonight, Al from Smoking Al's.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Good
Thank
morning,
you.
Yeah.
We're really excited to be here.
You damn near killed me with food before.
you can only
imagine.
I love
doing that. Yeah, you know that.
Again, we need a television show to be able to chronicle what came to the table before.
Yeah.
There were platters and platters, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But Al, you started something because we have a new mindset about having different guests on the radio show and visiting different people. We're really excited to be here today in Massapequa Park. We also have another character, Frankie Chicken, who's the owner of Nathan's and Chicken Holiday in Belmore. And he's always been talking about, hey, Stu, you got to have Tom come down. And then we got our manager, Darren, and he wants Darren there too. Go figure. But at any rate, you've created a whole thing. And we got other guests coming on in a couple of weeks. We got Gillis Pohl from the Pohl Restaurant.
Pohl Brothers, yeah.
And
he's an old friend, Gillis. I love Gillis.
Really?
Good
and
guy,
then we have Ronnie Dragoon from Ben's, the kosher deli that's got multiple locations across Long Island. But at any rate, here we are sitting at a round table on the upper deck here at Smoking Al's. So
let me just give you a chef perspective on what I've seen so far. You know, he was kind enough, obviously, to come out with platters and platters of food. And I don't eat a lot of barbecue, only because there's not a lot of barbecue places around. And, you know, this is flyover country for me. Mm-hmm. I'm usually on the LA going somewhere. But I've had some serious barbecue in the South. And I got to tell you, the stuff I had tonight was kick-ass. It was as good as anything I've
Thank
had
you.
Down there. Yeah.
Oh, that's
absolutely
from you,
fabulous.
That's a great compliment.
No,
Thank
fabulous.
You. I mean it.
And you know, the other thing, too, that impresses me is you pay attention to the sides. It's not just, you know, here's some Sally Sherman coleslaw or whatever, you know. You're making your own stuff. The collard greens were killer. I tasted those. I had the ribs. The burnt ends are probably my favorite. I love those
things. Really?
You know? Yeah. Pork belly. It was all just fabulous, fabulous stuff. So kudos to you, man.
Thank you.
Great
Thank
job.
You. Like
here.
I said, it's an honor for you to say that to me. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So,
and you know, one other thing. The interior of this restaurant is all brick. And if Al ever decides to retire, this is going to be my loft apartment in Massapequa. I'm going to hang some art on the wall, and I'm going to live here.
Well, the brick is from Manhattan.
It's is right, it really?
Yeah, it's from all the boroughs, but mostly Manhattan. It was called Reclaimed Brick. It was. They told me it was 100 years old, and that was back in 2008 when we built the place.
Wow.
So let's say the brick's from the early 1900s. And I had to look all over and not only get this brick, but then get the mason is to do an irregular job on the cement, not make it perfect, more like a warehouse look.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm real proud of it.
No, it's fabulous. Yeah.
So that, actually, you always segue into interesting territory.
I'm an interesting guy.
So that was my first question is, what's the history of the property here? What was here before you were here?
Years ago, it was a Pergament store years ago. Then it became, from what I believe, people tell me, 1-800-Flowers.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And but then they must have gutted it and cleaned it out, because when I got it, it was cinder block walls and the cement floors, and it was one big room. There was nothing here but one big room. And I had a dream of what it is, what the outside would look like and the inside would look like. And I figured, and I think I've mentioned this before, I figured it would take me 6 months to do it. It took like a year and 2 months.
Yeah.
So when you took this over,
I've
it
been
was...
There.
And a bigger budget than I thought.
So when you took over this property, it was four walls?
Four walls.
So you obviously had to put a kitchen in.
Well, you know, we have a front kitchen people see. We call it the front of the house kitchen. And then we have a back kitchen, which is even larger. So, yeah, we learned from our Bayshore location, which was so tiny, we learned what we needed in the second location. And it took a lot to do, but we got it done.
Because you let a lot of your secrets out on Instagram. For whatever anybody wants to get some interesting cooking tips and secrets of Smoking Al's, if you go to Smoking Al's on Instagram, there's all sorts of reels and videos, and it's quite interesting. But I saw you had the racks for the ribs, I guess.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that that's like a separate kitchen.
That's the kitchen from like 6:30 in the morning. The staff is in. And we start smoking. We start smoking what we call the long-term meats, the brisket, the pork. Tomorrow's meats will go in about 9 o'clock tonight, and it's on a computer. And then we take it out in the morning.
I'm going to get a little racy, but something tells me your version of smoking is different than Tom's version of smoking.
How did I get involved in this?
Yeah,
I smoke ribs once in a while at the club. I smoke more tomatoes than anything else, which is interesting because I used to smoke other things, and now it's tomatoes, you know, but it's all organic, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I gave all that up in a 76 or something like that, you know. I think pot's overrated, but.
So we met your son. I forgot his first name.
Jordan.
Yeah. So Jordan's here full time
as
your partner. What was his career path? What got him here?
Well, from the time when we started Bayshore, when we opened up in Bayshore in 2003, he was about 14, 15 years old. He helped with me and one other person setting up the first restaurant. Then he started washing dishes. He started learning how to do the grill. He's really learned every part of this business. Quite frankly, he knows some of it better than me. From a kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, you got to know each and every part of the business if you're going to manage a restaurant.
I'm really proud of him because he really knows the mechanics of this place. Things, as you know, equipment goes, things happen.
Oh, all the time. I often said that, you know, CIA, I went to CIA 100 years ago, they should have classes in air conditioning and refrigeration and plumbing.
Yeah.
You know, forget about Chinese cuisine. What the hell am I going to do with that?
You're so right. Yeah. You're so right. That's why through problems happening here over the years, Jordan's learned every facet of that.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes he fixes it before the mechanic comes here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it happens a lot. It happens quite often.
You know, people don't understand how much abuse restaurant equipment takes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's crazy. You know?
The walk-in boxes, the freezers.
Yeah, yeah.
Every part of the restaurant. Plus the air conditioners, the heaters.
Oh, yeah. So they only go down in the summer, though.
Yeah, of course.
So I probably should have sedated you prior to coming onto the show, but a couple of years ago, we had a major, I guess it was during Sandy, we had power failures and stuff. Was this location here in Massapequa Park open?
We were lucky. The water didn't come up here. We were able to be open. We're very fortunate. Not every restaurant was.
Because obviously on the South Shore, there was a lot of flooding, but which also caused a lot of electrical problems.
Yeah.
The North Shore, it was more wind damage where you had trees coming down and stuff. Yeah. But so this location existed during...
We existed. I don't think we were closed. Maybe a few hours at the initial day, but we were open. Yeah,
so,
real
and then
lucky.
Roll forward to, I guess, 2020 is when COVID occurred. And how did you, what was the business plan during COVID?
I had no clue, I'll tell you.
There is no plan.
I had no plan except do what I know how to do. And what we knew how to do, we were very lucky. Takeout was a big part of our business. Of course, it's now bigger than ever, but takeout was, we were there at the right time. A lot of restaurants were great restaurants, but they didn't know how to do takeout. And that's all you could really do. So those years of COVID were some of our best years.
So now, did you do your takeout through the front door? Or?
Yeah, we had a line.
You could still see remnants
on the sidewalk of smoke. It says with Smoking Al's logo, stay 6 feet apart. And it's still out there if you look closely.
Now, did you get involved? Obviously, there was lots of new thoughts during coming out of COVID and during COVID, including being able to send cocktails home. And did you Were you selling alcohol?
Yeah, we did. We weren't really looking to do that, but people were asking us, please, you know, because they wanted to get a drink when they were in here. So we found that it was legal to do it, and we started doing it. It wasn't a big business, but it was some, you know.
You know, so, the lucky part of the whole thing, too, for you guys is that, you know, barbecue travels pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of cuisine doesn't travel real well. Like pizza gets soft, you know.
Yeah.
You know, French fries fall apart, you know. But the barbecue holds up, you know.
Yeah, but I people go to catering here. Now, they'll say they're picking it up at 5 o'clock. I have it all ready for them.
Yeah.
And then at 5
6:30.
I get so worried because their food's not going to be hot.
Right.
And I tell them when they come in, I give them heating instructions because I can't.
Yeah.
If I redo it, it's a disaster.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. Yeah, that COVID thing was a real problem. I mean, you know, I don't know why it lasted so long. I mean, they found out later on, I don't know, maybe early on, and they were keeping it from us, that, you know, the whole mask thing wasn't really all that necessary.
Yeah.
It was
trial and error for everybody.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it
was a tough time.
It was a tough time.
So we're talking about take out alcohol. So for people that haven't been to Smoking Al's yet, there's actually a bar, and there's a bar crowd, and you never know who's going to be at the bar. We actually have one of our ultimate listeners, Bill O'Leary, affectionately known as Bill O.L.
Yeah, hey, Bill, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing? I was having dinner, and all of a sudden you guys walk in. What a surprise.
Yeah, it's a shock.
So we found you at the bar, but I know you had dinner, and then you were sitting there waiting to talk with us. But Al, what your bar, is it specialty cocktails, wine,
we have specialty
beers?
Cocktails, we have wine. It's a bar that's... People come in sometimes like this time of year to watch a basketball game or watch a game. But we're really more food driven, and people come in and eat at the bar, or they may have a drink while waiting for a table, or maybe they say, wait, we're not going to sit yet, we'll have a drink. But it's not quite a hangout bar. We're not looking for that here.
Yeah, it's not a drinking bar.
It's a family restaurant. I mean, couples come in all the time without children. I'm not saying it's a family restaurant like that, though we have big groups of families coming in. But I'm not looking for that kind of a crowd. And so I'm happy with the bar business we're doing.
So essentially people will dine here. Maybe before they leave, they might sit at the bar, have a cocktail or whatever.
Usually, yeah, but before more than after.
So again, walking over to the bar, I found Bill.
Surprise.
Got a special place in Tom and my hearts at this moment, because we're actually moving forward with a Facebook page. And I haven't seen it yet.
To you, by the way.
That's right. Yeah. Bill had to take the bull by the horn.
He did.
And we're going to check it out.
And then we had to find a manager for it, administrator.
We did. Thank goodness you're hanging out with Val, and Val has agreed to help us out with that.
Thank goodness for that. It's right.
She's the right generation for technology, you know.
So at any rate, you came here with your wife tonight, and you guys live in...
In Wantagh. I came with my lovely wife, Dawn, and we just drove back from Cortland. We have three daughters. One goes to South Carolina. She's starting med school in July, Shannon.
Wow.
Kelly's up in Cortland. She just finished her third year, and Danica's doing great in high school. She's like a top cheerleader.
So you're broke, essentially.
You got to be kidding me, yeah.
So just a shameless plug, Bill, and you can send us an email at fire@whli.com, but Bill has an interesting career. He's a paper hanger, and again, in today's world, you would think that there's not much paper hanging going on, but this guy is busy 24/7.
It's true. It's thankfully, right now, Long Island is booming, construction, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
The reason I got into your show so much was because I do a lot of restaurants, and every restaurant you name, like, oh my god, I work there, I'm in the kitchen, I'm talking with the chef, the owner, the waitresses, and I feel like I'm living your life when I'm listening to it. So
it's careful what you wish for.
It's
really an interesting business in that regard. I think that it trains a lot of young people how to deal with people, how to deal with coworkers, responsibility, getting in on time, you know. It's that quintessential, like, first job that, you know, kids need. You
yeah,
know, that,
my three daughters all started work in restaurants when they were 14, 15 years old.
That's great, yeah.
It's a great way to learn and yeah. responsibility. And
absolutely.
And again, just because Bill's been a great pleasure to deal with over the years, he's introduced us to some restaurants. Bramalow, which is, I guess, employed three of your daughters over the
yep,
years.
Yep, that's where...
which is in North Belmore.
Correct. And also North Belmore. Bramalow is very, so, you know, it's a local neighborhood Italian restaurant.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And right down the block, Blue Waters, just renovated. Another nice
it's Mediterranean
place.
Yes, and thank you for the gift certificate,
oh,
by the way.
Welcome,
that was
you know.
Very kind of you. I appreciate that.
And it's...
But here we are at Smoking Al's. So, like, you came with your wife, and her name again is...
Dawn.
Dawn. So, what did you guys have for dinner?
We had the combination. I had the ribs and the chicken. My wife had the chicken. We had four sides. Everything was excellent. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the waitress was excellent, and the people working at the bar, we stopped over there, and very friendly, very nice.
It's nice to hear.
And he's got a Cortland...
So have you ever eaten here before?
I have. I've been here before. And I was telling Al that I was in Memphis last year, and I guess the expectations were so high with the barbecue that I was kind of disappointed. And I honestly, it's a plug. I don't mean to plug it, but I am. It's,
I'll take it.
You're having a good. You have a great place here. Really
it's,
good food.
You know, it's
Bill.
The problem with today with social media and all that stuff is, you know, people hear about a place. I remember when Spago first opened in the 80s, right? All we heard about was Spago, 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 Wolfgang Puck, Spago. I wanted to hate this restaurant so bad, you have no idea. So I flew out to California just so I could hate it. And I got out of there, and if he would have said, shave your head, put this white thing on, sell flowers in the front, I'd have done it. You know, it was fabulous, you know. But a lot of times, you know, places get built up to the point where they can't really live up to the hype, you know.
The expectations.
Because the expectation levels are silly, and I think they're totally related to the amount of money that you're going to spend. And I see this all the time on these websites, these bitching and moaning websites, you know, how, you know, it wasn't worth the money, wasn't worth the money. I believe that everybody has a number in their head, whether you're buying dinner, a golf club, a car, whatever. And as soon as you start to exceed that number, your anxiety level goes up in direct proportion to the number, right? So instead of going to a place that you're not comfortable spending $200 a head, go to another place, you know, where you, you know, you're more comfortable. There's no shame in it, you know?
You're exactly right. And unfortunately, prices are going up these days.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, can't help it.
Well, yeah, and it's not just in the restaurant business. A quick funny story is Kerry is renovating her house a little bit. So she had a tennis court that's all beat up at this point. And it turns out it was resurfaced like 14 years ago. And I got a quote, and it was like double the amount of what she paid 14 years ago. She goes, that's ridiculous. You know, let's get another quote. So I get another. I actually go back to the original people. They come, and I'm joking with the guy because it's over the phone. He's on site. And I go, you know, the prices have stayed the same, right? He goes, no, they've doubled and tripled. And sure enough, that's the case. It's like, you know, the price of the original guy that I got matched what he did. So it's like, it just between labor and supplies, it's just the world is
it's what's
in
happening
a flop.
Now.
You know, the only thing that hasn't gone up is if you're a working musician. I'm still arguing for $150 that I was arguing for 20 years ago. It's the same number. It's hilarious.
No, so that's an interesting statement. So, again, going back to COVID, there were outdoor concerts at Eisenhower Park and stuff. And, again, at one point, it was okay to gather if there was safe distancing. But the people that were booking the acts were taking advantage of the performers. They couldn't perform, so they virtually would take anything that was thrown their way. And it was just, like, ridiculous because if they were normally getting $1,200 or $1,500 for a gig, they were offering them $600. It was out of control in a bad way. And again, today, with gas prices, I mean, in a blink of the eye, hopefully not between when the recording here Thursday and the airing of the show on Sunday, gas hopefully won't get up to $5 a gallon because it's like $4.55
or so.
It was
starting to look like California, you know.
Imagine what California's looking like.
Yeah, it's probably up to 12 or something, you know. Yeah, crazy.
So, Well, Bill, thanks for
thank you so much, guys, supporting.
Thanks for coming by. Thank you for the great job.
Good
to see you, man. And, always a pleasure.
See you Sunday.
Say hello to your cousin for me, right? All right, cool.
So, I got to ask you, Al. You treated us to platters of food tonight, and as we get into barbecue season, you know, a lot of people do hamburgers and hot dogs and or skirt steak or whatever. They're slaving on the grill when their guests are there, and part of the fun of having people over to your house or your backyard is to spend time with them. Right. So I obviously am convinced that you have the answer to a very easy means of entertaining and feeding
people. I was hoping you'd see that today with the platters I brought out, because most of those platters was from the new fantasy platter menu, which are these huge platters. They serve, like, depending on the people, anywhere from 6 to 12 people. And we can make them even larger, but or do more. We just did a party where they ordered two of each of three different platters. It was a big party.
So, you know, just like if you come to the restaurant or you take out under normal circumstances, there's combo platters, and those are dinners. It's for one person or two people.
Right.
You serve us these incredible platters. Yeah. Maybe you can elaborate on what we actually had.
The first platter I brought out was the poo-poo platter. We've talked about that on the air, and it's a big, exciting platter. It's with pork belly ends, the burnt ends, barbecue shrimp, and it's all in a bed of a haystack onions
and white rice
for the shrimp. And people are loving that. That's being ordered here a lot. Okay?
No, so just to jump ahead, though, you served us another platter that also included shrimp. Yeah. Was that shrimp prepared the same way as it was.
I just wanted you to see it. Normally, I wouldn't put the same food out twice. But that's our Caesar pleaser, I call it. It's a giant Caesar salad. That's a salad that I think we've talked about this before, that I create. It was my recipe. I used to do tableside service in Lake Tahoe with this salad, and I elaborated and made it a bigger platter and put grilled chicken, and you had grilled chicken and shrimp on the platter.
Yes.
That's the reason I brought it. That's the way most people order that platter.
And,
but you
and
could
that's
have wanted to pull the chopped meats
Caesar
on it,
dressing
too.
That you've created?
Yeah, that's my own recipe. It was difficult because when I was younger, I made that table set, and I had to figure out how to make it
bigger in volume.
I can't sit and do, this is not the kind of restaurant to do table set,
right.
So it took us a while, but we figured it out. And so I'm proud of that salad because it's not just something out of a bottle. That you would think a barbecue place would just use something out of
sure.
a bottle,
yeah.
you know, a wishbone type of things or a Ken's. This is my own recipe. It has anchovies in it. Some people say, is there anchovies in it? I say, yes,
no.
they don't want it.
No,
but
know.
Most
but,
people...
But Caesar salads should have anchovies.
The anchovies,
yeah,
right.
Course,
that's a real Caesar salad.
Yeah.
I know you know that.
God forbid raw egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't do that anymore almost, you know.
We use pasteurized white egg. We don't use raw egg in it. But when I do it at home, I use a raw egg. I'll be honest with you. I don't care.
Listen, none of us are getting out of this life alive. You know what I mean? So
really?
So now, one of the platters was, it looked like egg rolls.
That was, I call it, what came first? And we say both, the chicken and the egg. It's chicken wings and egg rolls. So it's a cute take on
and
that.
And what was the
those
egg roll were, stuff with?
Those are, you know, we have giant wings here, but for that platter, we cut them down. So they're picking food. So you got egg rolls, the pulled pork egg roll, and the chicken wings together on that platter. Yeah, so you had that. And I think you had one other platter. The macho nacho.
Yeah, macho nacho.
That's the big nacho, which of course we call the macho nacho, and we put three choices of pulled and chopped meat on that platter. So that's a biggie. People are ordering that one.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah.
Then there was something. It was almost served as a dessert because we had these four other platters, and then you came out with ribs and brisket.
That's called the feast. That's after all the appetizers, I'll call those other platters. This is with the baby back ribs. our sliced brisket. I gave you our moist part of our brisket. And also, we cut up our sausage, our barbecue sausage.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's a feast in itself. And we come out with three or four sides, depending what. People ask for an extra side. Usually it comes with two or three. If they ask for an extra side, we give them. They're getting a nice big platter there. They deserve what they want.
You don't leave hungry when you come to Smoking Al's.
No, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So now, do you serve pastrami at all?
No, I don't have pastrami on the menu. It's a little complicated for us to do it here, the steps of it.
I've made it. It's not only complicated, it really doesn't, I don't think it's the right genre. That's Jewish deli kind of.
Right, and I've had it at other barbecue places and I liked it, but I didn't feel it belonged.
I'm with you, I don't think so either.
And I agree. I mean, in full disclosure, I eat at different restaurants. I was somewhere in the North Shore, and they had, I believe, corned beef and pastrami, but you know, I don't see it pairing the way. Just
barbecue
like Tom
corned
said.
Beef to me is.
However,
like,
our buddy Eric comes here for his brisket for Passover.
Yeah,
Seder.
He does every year.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Good
but
for you.
Everybody, but when I have a pastrami at a barbecue place, it tastes like same pastrami I could get at Ben's.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, so.
So listen, let's take a little break. We got to pay some bills here. We're going to take a little break and we'll come back. And I think we have a couple other guests going to come up and say hello. And here we are at Smoking Al's, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Come on now, everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
It's spring and summer is right behind. It's time for Smoking Al's party catering menu. Make your next party at Smoking One with Al's Ribs, barbecue meats, chicken, appetizers, and a whole lot more. Try Al's new fantasy platters in the comfort of your backyard or one of Al's party packages. The weather is heating up and the party is smoking. Smoking Al's, Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
Welcome back. You're listening to Playing With Fire on 1100 WHLI AM and 104.7 WHLI FM, Long Island's own food, wine, and lifestyle show with your host, Tom Shordell, chef, author, and restaurateur. So before we bring on our next guest, I just want to reach out to, and I'm going to do it through the magic of radio, to Bill O'Leary. So over the years, Bill has come up to the radio station with a couple of different gifts over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue button-down shirts, butter bells, because some people believe butter belongs in a refrigerator all the time, but it's safe to leave it out all the time,
it
too.
Is, yeah.
And it's much easier to spread, especially when myself during Passover on my matzah. So, Bill, thank you for that. But one gift you gave us that I lost and I need recreated is the bingo, Playing With Fire bingo. So if you could recreate that bingo board, that would be incredible. But meanwhile, sitting here with Smoking Al himself and Tom, obviously, we have now Joe Manfredo, another one of our loyal listeners, who him and his wife listen to the radio station every week and listen to the show. And again, spread the word about the radio station. Welcome.
Well, listen, he listens religiously.
In more ways than one.
Well, so, I hope I'm not on at the end of the show, because then I'll be late for church.
That's right. He had to be on early so he could leave and get into the church.
The priest would catch you in the parking lot.
Yeah, if you ever go to church out in, I guess, Port Jeff area.
Yeah, Terryville.
And you see these two people sitting in a car outside of church. I've already asked forgiveness from God. They get pardoned.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some responsibility in that.
Well, Father Greg has a dog named Pope Leo. He usually goes out in the parking lot and checks on people. Nice lab.
Nice. There
so, again, Joe's a great, and his wife, his newly married woman in his life.
Yes, that's true.
Any good food experiences on the honeymoon?
Not on the honeymoon, but I was thinking about growing up. My aunt and uncle ran a small motel up in Lake George.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'd like to say when I was young, but I was in my 20s and I would drive up with a couple of friends. And my aunt would always make my favorite meal when I was coming up. And it would take her 2 days to prepare it.
Uh-huh.
And it was chicken fricassee.
Oh, nice.
So she would make the meal, and my uncle would come home from his regular job. And I'd sit next to him because I loved him, you know, wanted to be around him.
Of course, yeah.
And he'd whisper to me, "I hate chicken fricassee." He goes, "Every time I see her cooking it, I know you're on the way."
There you go, yeah.
And it took me a couple of years before I told him it wasn't my favorite food anymore. I just wanted it to keep going.
Yeah, the tradition, you know, it's important.
Yeah, it's great. You know you're enjoying something and aggravating somebody.
Yeah, it's,
it gives you a little charge.
It's the perfect combo platter, man, you know.
So although I enjoy Joe's company here tonight, I went to look at my watch to just see where we were. And I got to say, Al, thanks for keeping my cleaner in business.
I saw that before,
my
cuff
is full of barbecue sauce.
Take it off. I'll bring it to my dry cleaner.
Just cut the cuff off.
So I just need to know which barbecue sauce is on there.
It looks like the original.
Take it home with you.
So, Joe, you just got married. How long have you been with your lovely Judy?
15 years. We've known each other since we were 12 and 13.
Oh, wow.
I was older.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But it's a great time in our life to get together, and believe it or not, we reconnected in church.
Oh, really?
I was visiting my parents, and I brought them to church, and there was Judy, and then next thing you know, we were back in touch. And,
you know, you don't hear about guys picking up chicks in church all that often. That's pretty funny, man.
Well, being an altar boy.
You too?
Yeah.
I was an altar boy also, believe it or not.
Yeah, altar server.
Yeah. But when the Mass was in Latin, I was still in Latin.
Yeah, me too. Crazy, I'm that right? age.
One day when everybody's older, I'll tell you a story about my friend Louis DeMau in church. It's incredible.
So I got to ask, you know, you guys were together for 15 years. What prompted you to pick a date and actually get married?
Well, we were at my son's wedding in October, and a couple of nephews came over and said, congratulations, Uncle Joe. Everyone in your family's married but you.
Happy birthday.
So
oh,
you,
happy birthday.
You got motivated.
Yes, and then my son was the best man at our wedding.
Nice.
And he was able to give me a lot of wisdom from his 5 months of being married.
Yeah, well, it's... I'm with you. I made 8 weeks. That was enough for me, man.
8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah.
But talking about buffets, just to review, these platters that you have, I mean, again, do you do delivery or it's pickup?
We, if people ask and we could do it at the right time, we do delivery. We try to find someone to bring it if they really need somebody. Usually they come and pick it up, but we have delivered. And we also have done big parties where I've sent the staff over to the house to set up, make sure everything's okay. Yeah, that's catering. And
well, I got to tell you, you made it seamless because, again, you pre-order a couple of these platters, 6 to 8 people each. You get four of those, you're talking about 24 to 32 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just put it out as a buffet and just mingle with your guests.
That's what we do. We tell our people who order them, have their chafing dishes warmed up. We'll pop them in there for you, like especially if we send them over. And they're all set up for a party. You
know? So I'm a dinosaur. I went to a party the other day, and somebody said they had hot eating platters. And I'm waiting for them to bring out these things with the black glass on top. But actually, they unroll these vinyl heating pads now. They're silicone, I guess. I don't know. Are you familiar with those?
No, I'm not that old. I don't need a heating pad.
Well, no, this is to heat up the trays of food, my friend.
Anything that can keep it warm. That's my biggest fear.
So I went on Amazon and I said, you know, heating whatever.
Do you find it?
And they again, it's these latex things that have wires running through it. And
you're talking about something today.
Once you leave your restaurant, I have an off-premise catering business. I do big weddings and stuff like that, right? Once you leave the restaurant, all bets are off. There's all kinds of stuff that can go wrong, you know what I mean? Yeah. So whenever I do a party, I always make sure I know where the hardware store is and the food shed, you know? Because somebody's going to forget something. I forgot a wedding cake once. Mm. Swear to God.
A wedding cake?
I forgot the cake, yeah.
What anxiety.
I thought she put it in. She thought I put it in. We get there. There's no wedding cake, right? So I call back, And I'm like, look on the loading dock. Is there a wedding cake? Yeah, it's here. I'm in Riverhead, right? Cool Fish is in Syosset. So I said, we got to get a limo. We'll call a limo. And my manager, Diane, goes, it's June, Saturday. There's no limo companies. So I call a cab company in Syosset. I said, how much does it cost to go from Syosset to Riverhead? He says, $100. I said, okay. He goes, how many people? I said, no people.
One cake.
He goes, no people? No, I got a cake, you know. I said, I got a wedding cake. I'm a caterer and apparently not a very good one. And I need somebody to bring this cake out to, you
That's
know,
great.
The plate. So anyway, I said, if you can get it here by 3 o'clock, there's an extra 50 in it for the driver, you know. So then I had to pay for the trip back, too. So it was $250 because I'm an idiot. I forgot the cake.
Whenever we have a big party here or off premise, I have a mental and a physical punch list. I go over it. I'm nuts about it. I go over it, and I know still I'm going to forget.
Oh, totally.
Something. Yeah,
totally.
But I keep going. Even to do today, I you know, I think
and
about.
We appreciate your hospitality.
Yeah, you can't think of everything. There's a million moving parts.
I always had a thing.
Service and staff is great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I called twice to make reservations.
Oh, nice.
And they told me, don't worry, just be here.
You came at the right time. You came early.
Yeah, there you go.
So
yeah.
Wait, so just before we let you go, Joe, you're out in Rocky Point?
Yeah, Rocky Point.
Nice. So how long did it take you to schlep here?
Well, usually you can get here quicker, but Judy talked to like four people on the way here.
Oh, nice.
But it takes an hour, you know, because you go north, south.
Yeah.
And
thanks for coming out and
thank
supporting.
You.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Love the show.
Well, thank you.
I love the hospitality here.
Thank you.
And I can't read music, but I can read T-shirts, Tom.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's
thanks for having me.
That's an F note.
So now, we had appetizers, we had dinner, and we had a lot of food. Do people have room for dessert when they're dining
I
at
swear some
Smoking
do.
Owls?
Not everybody, but people do. We have a lot of good desserts. We make two of them we homemade here. The bread pudding we make. We've been doing that since we opened up. It's our own recipe. And fried cheesecake. That's another one, which is really popular.
Yes, now I remember, because we come here for our cohort Eric Schwartz's birthday, and you bring out a platter of desserts that has the fried cheesecake and I mean the cornbread itself can be a dessert.
It's true.
You know, just there's just not quite enough calories in a cheesecake, so you gotta fry it.
Of course.
And then there was some discussion, like when people have the cornbread, do they put butter on it or?
Yeah, some do. Some ask for it. Not many, but some ask for it.
I like a honey butter on there.
Yeah, that would be good.
Make a little honey butter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we first opened, we put corn in the cornbread, and it was good, but it was really hard to do on a cook because we do
cut it. You know?
Yeah, it was messy, but delicious, but messy. Yeah.
Yeah, I use corn and jalapenos, and sometimes it's hard to cut through it. You know?
So no, I know we experienced all these platters, and all the rage today is chicken sandwiches. You know, you got Raisin Cane, you got chicken tenders, which used to be PDQ, you got Chick-fil-A, on and on and on. Do you have anything like that on your menu?
Well, we have chicken. We have smoked chicken, which is chicken thighs. We have chopped pulled chicken, which is all parts of the chicken that we pull every day. We also have grilled chicken, which is was on the Caesar Pleaser platter.
But do you do sandwiches or all platter type things?
What's that?
Do you do sandwiches or just
platters? We do sandwiches. We have one sandwich is a real popular, the Works, which has all our chopped and pulled meats on it, plus sausage, the haystack onions, cheese. There's a lot of things on it.
Wait, I'm giggling here because we have another guest coming on, but before she could come on, she had to do a shot of tequila. I don't understand.
Well, tequila is, it opens up the neurons, you know.
So, Tom, please introduce our guest.
All right. In full disclosure, this is my better half, Valerie Pianatidis. And,
hello.
What's happening?
How are you?
Yeah.
So good to be here.
Yeah.
We're having the most fabulous food.
I'm glad to hear that, man.
Oh, my God. Everything is wonderful.
We got Sean here giving microphone technique tips.
Yeah. We came here once before. I mean, it was, I don't know, but 6 months ago we came. Had dinner at the bar. It was great.
We shared a rack of ribs.
I'm
and
a St. Louis guy. I love St. Louis.
I know.
So I had to order them again tonight.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
It's fabulous. Yeah.
The frizzled onions, we're trying to figure them out. How they're so flavorful being so thin.
Yeah. So what did your guests get for dinner tonight at your table?
All right. Well, we ordered a bunch of stuff to share. So we got the St. Louis ribs. We got some coleslaw, which is, I have to say, I used to own a deli. That's the best coleslaw I've ever had.
Oh, thank you.
Ever. It's yeah. unbelievable. Yeah. Trying to figure out what's in it. We got the, what else did we get over there? Oh, we got the salad, like the house salad with the pulled chicken on top. We got the pulled pork egg rolls, wow. which were yeah, really,
so
really good.
House salad.
I missed them on the first time around, but I ordered them again.
So the house salad, what type of dressing is that? Or was that Caesar?
We have a great blue cheese dressing. It's called fromage. It's delicious if you like blue cheese. Did you have blue cheese?
Yeah, we got it with the blue cheese.
We have ranch dressing. We have Thousand Island. We have honey mustard. And we have balsamic vinegar.
All the usual suspects.
All the usual. But I'm really proud of our blue cheese dressing. I picked that out 23 years ago, and we're still using the same blue cheese. It's real chunks of blue cheese
nice.
In it.
Yeah.
I
gotta
tell you, we were just talking about the blue cheese.
Most people don't realize how well blue cheese goes with barbecue sauce. And I'll tell you a story. I do an appetizer sometimes of fried green tomatoes with pulled pork and blue cheese.
Wow.
And it sounds like it's not going to work. It's perfect. You know?
No, it sounds good to
me. All those flavors melt together, really.
Yeah, you got a yin-yang there, like a balance.
Oh, totally.
So what's the difference between Roquefort dressing and blue cheese dressing?
Roquefort is a blue cheese, but it's from France.
Oh.
So that's the only difference. It's the same thing. It's like, just a different...
The one thing that we didn't sample tonight, but we've had before, is the Bow Wow platter.
Yeah, and I was going to bring out a platter of that, but I felt that was at the point you guys were going to bust. So I do. If you want to sit down after we're finished, I'll bring out another platter.
I'm pretty full.
I feel like I swallowed a small farm animal.
But
as
I mean,
it's
not strange for Val, being with Tom, the ingenuity of a chef and a cook and trying to be contemporary. But the engineering involved in this Bow Wow platter, can you take us through it?
Yeah, sure. We take, as Stu knows, we're yet to find big enough bun for it, so we use two buns. We grill a hot dog.
And it's not just any bun. It's a potato roll.
Yeah. It's a hot dog roll. It's good, but we need two of them. We use a half-pound hot dog. It's huge, and... It's about 18 inches long, and we put it on the grill first. We slather it with our sauce, then we put it on the bun, then we put chili on it, our homemade chili. We put our beans, our baked beans that we make here every day, on it. Then we put some cheese on top of that, and then on top of that, we put the haystack of onions right on top. Then we surround the whole platter with fresh cut fries, potato fries.
Nice.
It's a big platter.
Yeah, that's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food. People have fun with that dish.
Yeah. I'll bet.
So, Val, give us some insight on the life of Tom Shawdell. If we weren't here recording the show tonight, where would you guys normally be on a Thursday night?
Well, we'd be right here at Smoking Al's ordering some ribs.
This message brought to you by Smoking Al's.
I didn't mention, you asked me what we were ordering. I left out, we also got the burnt ends.
Those
are amazing, too.
Yeah, they're good.
One of the best things I've eaten. Right.
Yeah,
we
go out every night that I'm not working, which I guess about two, three nights you're not working,
We try to stay local, but...
Well, one of the greatest treats is I went up to, Bayport?
Bayville.
And you were performing one night, so I went to support. And then all of a sudden, Valerie comes out, and with the most unbelievable voice, belts out a song.
Brings the house down.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, we should do a little live performance here one night.
There you go.
Maybe we should do that.
Well, it's got a built-in stage, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this is a perfect spot.
And I'm looking at these pictures up here. They really look like rockabilly in a sense to me, some of these things with the pigs danced up.
It's more like porkabilly.
Porkabilly. But you got the Stray Cats coming to Westbury Music Fair in the not too distant future. And I think they started in Massapequa.
They did. Brian Setzer went there. The drummer in my band, James Bernard, played with him in high school. They both went to Massapequa High School.
Really?
Or Burner, one of the two. I don't know.
Which leads to a question: what do you have entertainment here ever?
No, we really don't. You know, we play great music here. Most of the night we played the music of Louis Jordan. I don't know if you guys know who he is. There was a Broadway show of his review for years called Five Guys Named Mo. That may sound familiar to you. And we play music that I feel fits in with the feeling here. Like a smoky, warm feeling.
Yeah.
We change over to jazz about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we play Diana Krall, Steve Terrell, a little bit of Sinatra. I mean, Sinatra's a favorite of mine, but I feel too much of that. I have to pick music that's right for the restaurant.
Yeah, you don't have enough mozzarella here for that.
Al, when you're out and about, obviously you can't be here 24/7, although maybe it's 12/7.
Right.
But what fancies you as far as food? Like, where would you go?
I like good steakhouses, and I like good Italian restaurants. You know, I was just in Insignia there. A couple of my friends I met there the other night. It's a wild scene over there.
Oh, yeah, Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one did you go to?
Insignia.
Oh, Insignia. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's funny, they have such a contrast. They have a room that, and all the Anthony Scott, most of them, they built tents that are now really legitimate dining rooms, you know. But I noticed the crowd was different. The main dining room then I realized they have a special, like a promo on Monday to Thursday night there or something.
Oh yeah,
$59.95.
Right, and the outdoor dining room was for that, I believe. It seemed that way to me. And the other dining room was the regular menu.
Yeah.
Because they do ask you when you make a reservation, which menu do you want? You
know? He's a good operator, Tony. I know Tony 30 years, you know.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
I think he has great restaurants.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a good job. He doesn't spare any expense. He's the only thing I will say is the last time I was, I'm trying to think of when it was, got to be 7 years ago. I don't do steakhouse as much because I don't eat meat a lot, but I was out there about 6-7 years ago, and they had the Wagyu steak. They had a Wagyu thing, and they had two guys come out dressed as samurai.
Samurai, yeah.
I don't know if you ever met a samurai guy named Pedro before.
Yeah, you know.
But it was Pedro and Jose, the two samurai guys.
In some scene,
it's hilarious.
I see a young table's like 8-10, and they're ordering 3 or 4 of them. And
yeah.
I know. The last time I looked, it was like $175 a plate.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
I think it's probably more.
Yeah.
And, It's
all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah.
So trying to understand the Tom Shawdell lifestyle. So Val, did he ever invite you over for a candlelight dinner?
And no, he's actually never cooked for me unless it's, you know, something that he's making already at work.
Well, at least you're considerate, because this daughter Courtney, again, I always go back to the birthday story. You know, she has everybody over in Westbury at Kingfish, and Tom's in the kitchen. Tom's on the guitar. Tom's giving commentary on the pairings for the special dinner that night.
Yeah, she worked me like a rented mule.
And then at the end of the evening, all he wants is a glass of wine, and he goes over to the bar. He asks for a certain wine, and she goes, "Sorry, we have none open."
Yeah, it's hard to get anything out of my own crew, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no exaggeration. This is black and white.
Really?
He walked over to the bar. She goes, "We have no open bottles of that right now."
Yeah. So open one, you know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Val's a bit of an aficionado, too, a wine aficionado, so that kind of helps.
You enjoy it.
You know.
I do.
This way I don't have to finish the whole bottle.
He's also taught me a lot about it. I didn't drink as much wine as, I mean, the last couple of years. I've drank more than I probably have in my lifetime, but
so we're
gonna, I've also learned a lot about it.
So we're going to, again, use the wonder of radio to find out the history of a story. So Val was sharing that she was in Long Beach recently, and she was in a restaurant.
I was at my job at Scara.
Oh, she was at her job. She makes guest appearances at different restaurants across Long Island.
I just popped
in. So one night
yeah.
she's at the restaurant. What's the name of it?
Scara.
Scara, which is in East
Williston Park. Yep.
Williston Park. And somebody comes over to her and says, "Are you Val?" So now that I'm thinking about it, I think I have an idea of how he recognized you. But what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, it was someone that knew the both of you, and that was a big fan of the show. And it was Larry from Long Beach. And I don't know, maybe he recognized me, you know, from my voice or how I looked, whatever. I walked past them and they stopped me. And they wanted me to say hello and, you know,
Larry from
tell you guys that, you know, they listen every week and that they went to Skara based on your recommendations.
Oh,
and
nice.
All that. Yeah.
He's the guy that wants us to go to the food pantry, right?
Down yes. There?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
They win tickets or something?
They did. They won tickets to Barry Manilow, which brings up a good point. So the Barry Manilow show was supposed to be February 13th at UBS Arena. It's been rescheduled for the end of June. So everybody that won tickets, you're still going to the show. I'm trying to make your lives easier because in today's world, all ticketing is electronic. And I find that a lot of our more senior listeners are not familiar with how to download the tickets and put it on
a
smartphone or whatever. Yes, so going to a concert with Tom, I think last summer we went to see The Who.
Yeah.
It was so stressful.
And Tom brought a whole bunch of people, including, was it your cousin that you went to first?
Yeah, my cousin Kathy and I went to see The Who in 1965 or whatever it was at the Westbury Music Fair, right? So that was the first concert I ever went to. I guess we were 12 or 13 or whatever it was. And then I called her up and I said, The Who are playing the last concert. So I think we got to bookend this. We went to the first one. Let's go to the last one. And Stu was kind enough to get tickets at like 6 minutes before the show when my anxiety level was through the roof.
Right, so we're out tailgating in the parking lot. Val goes to Tom, you know, open up your phone so we can see the tickets.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, there's nothing. Val just gets into it. She's restarting his phone, downloading the tickets, and lo and behold, within 5 minutes, Tom was inside, busting the chops of the wine steward.
The wine lady.
Because it's just trouble travels with Tom. So a couple of years ago, we also went to Jones Beach for a concert, and Tom's good friend Mike Dorio's there. Tom's there with Valerie. Mike's there with his lady. And they go to the kiosk for a bottle of wine, and they order two bottles of wine, one red, I think, and one white, and everything was great. They opened the bottles, they poured it, and Tom said, let's, you know, take a table, so let's pay the bill. Oh, we don't know how much this is.
$8.
You pay $250 for tickets to a concert, and you're wanting to get to your seat, and you can't. Because nobody could figure out how much the wine cost. They're calling over managers, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
So trouble travels with Tom.
It does. You have no idea.
You probably also ordered something that no one ever orders. So.
Well, if you want to know what trouble travels with Tom, I'll tell you about our Philadelphia experience sometime.
Oh, my God.
Between Starbucks, the check-in, it was just... And then Val gets this bright idea. I don't know if I told you that you wanted to get a Philly cheesesteak?
Yeah, because it was our second time there, and I'm like, you know, the first time I didn't get one, I said, I have to get one this time. I've never had one. What's all the hype about, right?
Yeah, so we Uber it down to Gino's. They get Gino's and Pat's, right? And they're both, like, next to each other. So Uber down to Gino's. She goes, should I get it with whiz or without? I guess with, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat it, so I don't, whatever. So anyway, they wrap it up. We go find a seat. I get my Diet Coke. We sit down. She takes a bite. She goes, I hate it. I said, all right, wrap it up, throw it out, we'll go get pizza. And that's what we did. You know?
That's very funny.
It was very good pizza.
So when we were talking about the Philadelphia trip last week, Tom also said you guys, I think, went to Starbucks. And then again, oh, my God, I guess we're two of a kind because I go to Starbucks. I don't know what a grande, a venti.
You got to speak Starbucks. You know, I don't
that
speak
was
Starbucks.
Really
to be honest, I can't even order a Dunkin' Donuts because I don't. There's a latte. There's a protein terrible. Fusion drink. Everything is just complicated.
Yeah. I ordered a decaf coffee with a shot of espresso. Does that sound hard to you?
No.
I got a cup about the size of a small Balkan country, right, filled with ice, with a shot of espresso in the bottom. So you can't,
it looked like that.
How could you think that
and
was?
And then I go to Starbucks. They ask me my name. I tell them my name, and next thing I know, it's not Stu. It's Robert.
They ask me my name. I was gonna say Jamal or Sven, but I don't know. It just didn't seem like the right thing to do. You know, at the
meanwhile,
time.
You know, I think the New York Knicks might be hiring you to travel because. Right after your trip to Philadelphia, the Knicks were in
they killed it while we were there.
Yeah. Yes. What are they playing next? I'll go to the Knicks.
I think it's to be decided yet.
No,
but we're going to send you there.
Send me out there.
Yeah. Right, I think so one of our Uber drivers made a comment about the Knicks putting him in their place that night before.
Yeah. All right, well, it's getting to be that time, Stuart.
Yeah, we got like one or two more minutes. In closing, again, Al, thank you for having us. Again, you might have provoked something in a good way, which is us making some road trips and having more guests into the radio
station. You guys deserve it. Listen, I love your show. That's why I got involved with you guys. And I think you're terrific, both of you, you know. And I'm honored to be on the show today. And I'm happy for you guys recognizing us.
And now, because I don't know how it all works, but we have a Facebook page. Maybe you can share or follow or do something with it so that we can
I have to post on Facebook. So. But we're on, like you say, Instagram. That's really a good thing.
Well, you do videos that are incredible.
He'd be terrific on Instagram.
I have a Facebook page. I have 5,000 Facebook friends. I know 12 of them. You know what I mean? I have no idea what I'm doing with it, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody says you got to get an Instagram page. Yeah. I think I have one. Do I have one?
You do.
I do, but I don't know where it is. I don't know how to get to it. I don't know what to do with it. It's bizarre.
Well, it needs some sprucing up.
Yeah. Especially you're a celebrity chef. You should get beyond on these things.
I guess so. Yeah.
So let's play the dating game real quick before we leave. So we got Tom and we got Valerie. Where's your next vacation or weekend trip?
Greece.
Greece.
Would be the next vacation. Weekend trip?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say probably Boston.
Boston. Yeah, probably Boston.
Okay. You've done that before.
I liked Philly, but, you know, I don't know. It kind of, didn't do it for me this time, really.
Yeah, I think the last time we were in Boston was November, and that's just way too long.
Well, that's the trips that I always talk about. Washington, Boston, Philly, I guess, was new. Tom does the guy's trip to Florida with golf or whatever. But
culinarily speaking, it's just, you know, they just have a couple of restaurants that we just can't get to. So.
But listen, don't be a stranger. You can call into the show whenever you want. And share some tidbits about life and adventure with Tom Shawdell.
Thanks so much, Al, for having us. It was
great.
Thank
you, Tom. For all this delicious food, Al.
And we're
going to
close.
Thanks, Val.
We're going to close the show with Tom's three keys to life, which is life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last, and keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and barbecue.
Craving fresh seafood with a view on Long Island's charming North Fork? Waterfront Dining doesn't get better than Allure Chowder House and Oysteria. From the team behind Matatuck favorites, chefs Tom Shodell and Adam Lovett, comes Allure, a fresh take on the classic fish house. Located at the scenic port of Egypt Marina, Allure is a true chowder house and clam bar with sweeping water views and a 100-foot wraparound deck. Inside, expect a warm coastal vibe with a double-sided fireplace, a lively raw bar, and a menu built around local catch. Striped bass, tuna, swordfish, lobster, plus salads, pasta, and select steak offerings. Culinary expertise from Chef Jeffrey Ugel rounds out a team focused on seasonal, local ingredients with a showcase of Long Island wines. Allure, where the North Fork meets the water's edge. 62300 Main Road in Southold. Reservations suggested.
Amano Osteria and Wine Bar has been created by Adam Lovett and Tom Shawdell to bring the feel and flavors of a true Tuscan Osteria to the North Fork. Amano showcases local growers, farmers, cheese, and winemakers, marrying their ingredients with the taste traditions of the Tuscan countryside. The casual appeal, the flavors of Italy, and a moderate price structure appeal to all, ensuring year-round patronage. This North Fork eatery sends out snappy salads and seafood, pastas and antipasta, along with a respectable wine list. Amano features local vineyards and Italian varietals from the U.S. and Italian wines. The kitchen remains open until 11 and has established a later dining crowd, sparking a local nightlife dining scene. Amano is on the cutting edge of a new high-quality and affordable dining experience on the North Fork. Amano Osteria and Wine Bar, 13550 Main Road in Matatuck. Serving dinner daily, Amano is also open for lunch on Saturday and Sunday. For reservations and further information, call them at 631-298-4800 or visit them on the web at amanorestaurant.com.